I'll tell you a story. When I saw this, when Hashem was my chavrusa and taught me this lesson from chapter 12 of Tanya. Don't worry, I'm not crazy. But yes, sometimes Hashem is my chavrusa. He orchestrates life to teach me points in chassidus, which I wasn't completely getting from the book. One time I was sitting in the car. My wife, we were newlyweds, I think, because I don't remember we had any kids. So I think it was like maybe the first year. And it was close to Shkia, like sunset, and I remember wanting to finish saying Tehillim. So she ran into the grocery store without me, and I was sitting in the car in the passenger seat finishing Tehillim. So I remember I'm sitting there, and you know, this is America, so I'm in the right seat, okay? Facing forward, I'm in the right seat. And she's inside the store, and I'm saying Tehillim from my little book. And I become cognizant out of the corner of my eye, in my peripheral vision, some lady is coming out of the grocery store and she's holding a child by the hand, like a 5-year-old boy. And I see she's walking very agitatedly. And I become more conscious of it as I realize she's walking right up to me, walking straight to me, making a beeline right up to me. Now she's 3 inches from me. And I'm thinking, what does she want from me? And then I realize she's parked right next to me. Okay, she's parked in the car to the right of me. So I'm in the right front seat, meaning the passenger seat in America. She's parked to the right of me, going into the left side, meaning the driver's side of her car next to me, which is literally a few inches away. So she opens up the back driver's side door, puts the kid in the seat, buckles him in, closes the door. Then she opens the front driver's side door. She gets in, closes the door. She's not aware of me there at all, okay? I'm aware of her. She closes the door, she turns around, she starts screaming at the kid, "Don't you ever do that again, I told you." And, you know, I got front row seats to see this kid getting screamed at. And all of a sudden, she realizes, you know, here I am peering over my book of Tehillim. And she sees there's an audience. Boom. That's it. She stops. All of a sudden, it's over. Let me ask you a question. When did this woman, at what point in the story, did this woman begin to feel frustrated? Back in the store. Again, why are only the women answering this question? Men, have you ever taken your child to a grocery store? She started feeling frustrated back in the store. Okay. At what point did she act upon that feeling? In the car when she thought nobody's looking. Okay. In other words, Mayach Shalat Aleif, she was able, her brain rules the heart, she was able to restrain herself and withhold. She had an emotion, a very strong emotion. She wouldn't give it a lavush, she wouldn't give it a vehicle. That was the self, but she wouldn't let it cross into self-expression. That's who you are, but she wouldn't let it be what you do. You know, that's the insides, but she wouldn't let it come to outsides. So in other words, she was controlling and holding it in. Now, what's even more remarkable, once she started to let it out, and it was in full, it was being unfurled, she was screaming at the kid, now the emotions are flying. How long did it take her? You know, let's say you're driving a 12-passenger van 80 miles an hour down the highway, okay? And all of a sudden, you realize there's a complete dead stop traffic jam in front of you. By the way, I'm making this up. I have no idea what that means to drive a 12-passenger van 80 miles an hour. That's completely reckless. I don't condone it. I've never done it. But let's just say, for totally theoretically, that somebody were in that situation. And you have to step on the brakes, and you stand on the brakes. But that 12-passenger van that's been going 80 miles an hour, it doesn't just stop. It's going to skid for a while, right? Okay, so she's in the middle of unfurling that emotion. She realizes, not safe, there's an audience. How long did it take her to stop? Not even a second. That's even more. See, it's not just mind controls the heart, I can hold it in. Mind controls the heart. I'm in the middle of it coming out, and bam, doesn't even skid. Just cut it, like pull the plug. And the question is, what avoda, what spiritual regimen had this woman engaged in to attain this level of self-control? She was born. Because the Alter Rebbe says that this is universal, this is human, this is how we were made, this is nature. In fact, I think it's interesting when the Rebbe would tell a story about Mayach Shalta Alev, the story that the Rebbe told, sort of like the quintessential Mayach Shalta Alev story, was, yeah, Moshe Meisels. And that was a story about a chassid of the Alter Rebbe who was spying. The Alter Rebbe wanted Napoleon to be defeated by the Tsar. So Moshe Meisels was a polyglot. He spoke many languages. And so he was employed by the French military, but he was really smuggling secrets to the Russians. And once Napoleon came in and he suspected maybe he's a spy, and he did, Napoleon had this sort of like a polygraph test that he would do. He would take his hand and put it on your heart. Not like the pictures we always see of Napoleon with his hand under his coat on his own heart. They say he had a heartburn maybe. But he would put his hand on your heart. So what he did is he came over to Moshe Meisels and said, "You're a spy." And he put his hand on his heart to feel if you'd have those, you know, biological, physiological responses that, you know, just the fear response. You can't, you know, you can't control that, can you? It's just, you know, you sweat, your pulse it goes a little faster. And Moshe Meisels saved his own life by overriding that reaction. He says, because the Alter Rebbe taught us Mayach Shalta Alev. I think it's remarkable. Mayach Shalta Alev in that story was not Mayach Shalta Alev as exerted to overcome a moral dilemma. It wasn't about a moral dilemma. It was not to override a lustful desire. It was to override a basic physiological reaction. And I think that's the point of Mayach Shalta Alev, that it's not an inherently moral thing. It's just a natural thing. And that's why if you think you don't have it, which you do, we all have it, but if you really think you don't have it, you don't need a mashpia, you need a neurologist. And that the Alter Rebbe's Chiddush is not Mayach Shalta Alev. He's saying Mayach Shalta Alev, that's self-evident, that's just human nature. But the Alter Rebbe's Chiddush is that you can employ it in a moral context. You can employ it in a moral context. In other words, like, you know that thing you do when you're talking to somebody up close and you need to cough and you don't cough in their face? Right? You know, like inhibition, impulse control, right? Oh, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, well, use that same drive for putting on tefillin. What, you can do that? That counts? Not only you can do it, not only it counts, you have to do it. Don't wait until you feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. Force yourself. So chapter 12 reveals this amazing concept. Just force yourself. You're not an animal. Mayach Shalta Alev. Impulse control. In other words, you can be one thing, but you can do another. Your insides and your outsides don't have to match. Yourself doesn't always have to lead to self-expression. It's marvelously relieving to know that I don't have to be perfect. I just have to try to do perfect. That's not pressure. That's a relief. And that's what I find out in chapter 12. And in chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, it goes on and talks about the Beinoni at length. In fact, in chapter 15, it says, if it's not hard to do, it's not even really ideal. It should be hard to do. Nobody's telling you this should become natural. It's natural to be unnatural. You're human. Use your impulse control. That's your natural ability to control yourself.